Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. I'm still pinching myself that I'm saying that. 13 years of doing what I love and sharing the message of extraordinary woman. I'm also the best-selling publisher behind the boutique publishing house for women, Inspired Living Publishing. You know, it gives me soul giggles to birth the books of visionary female leaders, coaches, and healers who are passionate about sharing their message and wisdom and transforming women's lives. We recently released Dr. Deborah Riebel's Soul-Hearted Living, a year of sacred reflections and affirmations for women, which quickly became an international bestseller in midlife and self-esteem and a number one hot new release. And we couldn't believe it when 3 weeks later, Amazon recently placed it on the most wished for list as well as recommended gifts lists. So grab your copy at soulheartedlivingbook.com. And be sure to watch in April for the release of Broken Open, Embracing Heartache and Betrayal as Gateways to Unconditional Life. Unconditional Love by Certified Spiritual and Life Coach Mel Duane. You can register for VIP notice at brokenopen-book.com. Be sure to grab your gorgeous printable affirmations poster and heart-expanding meditation when you're there. So as you can kind of notice, all of my multimedia brands are dedicated to inspiring women to live their best lives. And today's show brings you the wisdom and expertise to support you in doing just that. Today we're talking about self-care, and I don't know about you, but it's something I've struggled with for many years, mostly in regard to maintaining consistency. One of those self-care methods I've struggled with is meditation. Sound familiar? So today's guest talks about that and so much more. I'm excited to share that joining me today is Sharon Rosen, an author and healer who works with busy, accomplished, spiritually aware women. Through her hands-on bodywork, meditation instruction, Kabbalistic healing, and wellness coaching, Sharon helps them establish healthy boundaries while connecting to the power of their innate wisdom and goodness so they can do their best work in the world. Her first book, Crazy World, Peaceful Heart, Six Core Practices for Cultivating Joy and Resilience, is filled with simple, effective practices and inspiration. Sharon offers her transformative programs and retreats both in-person and long-distance and loves helping groups and organizations make meditation and self-care strategies a part of daily life. Welcome, Sharon.
Thanks, Linda Joy. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Well, we were just talking off air, and I said to her, I've been watching you, girl, on social media, and we've been in each other's circles for a long time, and I'm like, why hasn't she been on my show? She's got to get on my show. So, again, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, and here we are.
Yeah, we're going to have a fun conversation today. So let's dive in, right? So I mentioned in your bio about the Kabbalistic teachings. What aspects of Kabbalah drew you to study it? Let's start there. An explanation of what it is.
Aha. Well, Kabbalah means received wisdom, and it's from the Jewish spiritual world, but it's really about life, and it's a way of understanding how the universe came to be, how the world came to be, and how we came to be through divine manifestation. And I was raised Jewish, and I went to Hebrew school, and I was bas mitzvahed, and I always felt a certain connection to God, always. But there wasn't a lot of, I would say, juice in the spiritual way that I was raised with Judaism. And so I often felt like I was kind of bringing my own juice. And when I started being aware of Kabbalah, which, you know, when you're raised Jewish, you're not raised with any awareness of that or understanding of it, at least not in the 60s. And there was the concept of the Ein Sof, the infinite, the ever-expansive light of creation, which is quite different from the God of the Bible. And I realized, oh, that's what I've always related to, is that greater mystery and that unknown. And so that really drew me in. And the fact that it came from my own spiritual roots, you know, I'd been going to yoga retreat centers and Buddhist meditation centers, but I always considered myself Jewish. And so it was wonderful to find a really deep, wide spiritual path within my own religion.
And it sounds like it's been a path that's just opened you up. And isn't that what we're all yearning for?
Yeah.
It opens us up to something bigger and deeper that we can actually feel connected to, right? Mm. So that really speaks to me how you described it. I could just hear it in your voice of what it's done for you. What are some of the other almost like side benefits that have happened in your life since you started studying Kabbalah?
Well, I think for me, the thing that was so wonderful, and I went through a four-year training program, a fairly intensive training program in Kabbalistic healing. And what was so wonderful was I had, you know, looked at, and some of the listeners may be, you know, familiar with the image of the Tree of Life. I know Carolyn Mace brings it forward in her book Anatomy of the Spirit. And, you know, so I imagine your listeners may have a sense of that image. And I was trying to learn it from books, you know, memorizing and figuring out what the different spheres, the circles of emanation mean. But when I did the training, because of what I learned and how I learned how to be in relationship to the tree, it really brought it alive in me. And that, and being able to help people understand themselves in a different way through that template and through that awareness is, it's endless. It's really kind of fathomless.
So where did you start with working with mindfulness? You know what I mean? Is that part of the Kabbalah teachings, or is it a separate aspect?
It's not separate. Actually, another thing that you're not really brought up learning is that meditation is a part of Jewish practice. You know, a lot of the Kabbalistic scholars and teachers were lost to us, you know, with the Holocaust. So a lot of things got lost along the way, but as people did more research, you know, they found that there are very deep meditative practices that come out of that. For me, the mindfulness piece, it's interesting, my teacher, besides being a Kabbalistic scholar and explorer, is also a lineage holder in a Buddhist lineage. So while that wasn't explicit as much in our training, it's just something I was always drawn to. And I, you know, like most people, got a really busy, active mind. And so learning how to sit quietly with myself and work with my mind in different ways so that I wasn't anxious or depressed, you know, like many people, I've been through those phases in my life of really dealing with some difficult emotional things. And it's such a beautiful way to learn how to just let everything be and hold everything and not get so, you know, they call it monkey mind, right? So grasping at things and holding on so tight. It's a great relief to learn how to not do that.
Oh, I think you're speaking to so many of our listeners. We all struggle with that quiet in the mind. This world is 100 miles an hour, right?
Yeah.
And it's so hard to I don't want to say it's so hard to disconnect. We've come to believe that it's so hard to disconnect because we're just in that energy all the time. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about my own journey, and I remember I didn't even like to be alone with myself or my thoughts because mm-hmm. I felt like I was always running, right? So yeah. All of a sudden it was like, what is this uncomfortable thought and feeling coming up? Oop, time to keep going 16-hour days and drink 4 cups of coffee a day. I think it becomes a unhealthy habit that we use to disconnect, right, mm-hmm. from our truth, from our feelings. That was mine. I'm going to be 57. In my 30s and 40s, I lived that way, and now I feel like I'm so much more mindful. Mm-hmm. I might not have a formal meditation practice, but I realize that what I've been doing for the last 7 years, Sharon, is my form of meditation, which is taking moments throughout the day, whether it's 1 minute or three. Do you know?
I love that you brought that forward because people think that if they can't carve out the time, or they think they have to carve out huge amounts of time. And you know, when I teach meditation, I'm very like kind of non-denominational or multi-denominational in my approach because I want most of all to help people find their way into being able to be more present to themselves and trust their essential okayness. And, you know, if sitting and trying to, you know, have a practice of meditation is too difficult, just remember to wake up as many times as you can during the day and draw your awareness back to whatever's right in front of you.
So I want to dive deeper into this after the next break because this is what I struggled with in so many of my clients. So let's run to break now. When we come back, I want to talk about finding those moments throughout the day and how to stop judging ourselves because we believe meditation is one way. The reality is it isn't. And I'll be back in a moment with Sharon Rosen of heartofselfcare.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Are you tired of sitting on the sidelines of your life? Do you feel disconnected from your truth and inner joy? Are you ready to start marching to the sound of your own drum instead of living on autopilot? It's time to start consciously creating your life from a place of personal power and to accept the support you need to create and live your authentic life. Coach and international best-selling author Felicia Baucom specializes in empowering women to march to their own drum and create their own unique path to happiness. Felicia has a gift for balancing grassroots pragmatism with the spiritual side of life. She inspires women to connect with their inner rebel so they can uncover the next chapter of their lives. Visit marchtoyourowndrum.com today to schedule your complimentary Heart's Desire breakthrough session.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Sharon Rosen of heartofselfcare.com. And we're talking about meditation, mindfulness, Kabbalah and self-care and some more juicy strategies and tips she's going to be sharing. Sharon, right before the break, I was sharing my personal experience that, do you know, for many, many years, because I've been on the personal spiritual development path about 27 years, and for God, first half of that, I judged myself because I could not do this meditation thing, this sit on the cushion. You know, what I envisioned was supposed to be meditation. So I judged myself. And then about 5-6 years ago, I had this awakening, this awareness suddenly come into my being going, Linda, you've been meditating for years in the way that your soul needs. You are so present in moments. I might not do 30 minutes on a cushion, but I take 10, 12, sometimes 14 if I have a busy day, moments throughout the day to just be in my body. Might be 30 seconds, might be 3 minutes. It depends on that moment. I realize that is meditation.
That's right.
So let's talk about that, the disconnect that so many people are judging themselves. And give them permission to find a new way.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. I love that you came to that realization yourself. And it's so true. So, gosh, there's so many things I could speak to here. You know, it's so easy to see a picture of a bunch of people sitting on their cushions with their eyes closed in a meditative posture and assume that they all have these serene, blank minds. And I think what happens for a lot of people is when they do sit, what they find is, well, first of all, people have the misconception a lot of times, I think, that meditation means you clear your mind of thoughts. That is just not what it is. You can get there in moments and at certain points, but your mind creates thoughts. That's what minds do. So meditation is about sitting with yourself or becoming present in any moment to yourself and learning how to respond differently to the thoughts as they arise. So if you're sitting in meditation, the point of power, the actual practice, happens the moment that you find yourself wandering off in your thoughts and you catch yourself, you wake up, and you come back to your point of focus, whatever it is, a mantra, your breath, physical sensation. I mean, I love that you said that you get present in your body, because I think we are so in our heads all the time, you know, and visually, you know, out there with our screens and everything. So just that any moment of waking up and being present is such a helpful healing thing. And
it has been for me. I mean, I remember about 4 years ago washing dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the middle of the woods on the water. And next thing I know, I guess I was just watching the birds on the bird feeder in nature. I just felt so connected to everything that was. Now, someone looking at me would say, she's doing chores, she's washing dishes. But I remember what it felt like when I was just tapped in, tuned in. That was meditation.
Yep, exactly.
Right? And
meditation means...
Go ahead.
Meditation basically means focused awareness.
So that's why I felt it. I could feel... it was so funny. I could feel where I was, even though my physical body was, you know, doing the dishes. Now those moments I take throughout the day, you know, I have a full schedule, and I love nature. I might open the slider and just stand there for 30 seconds or 1 minute and feel the sensation of either the breeze or the sun. That's become a meditation for me.
Yeah.
So I want to share this because I know, like so many others, and I'm sure the clients that you serve, we fell into that pattern is, I'll never meditate. You know, it's just not me. I can't quiet my mind. I love that you said it's not about quieting your mind. It's about not following the thoughts where they're going. That's what it is for me.
It's about not following the thoughts, not grasping onto them. You know, I once sat in a weekend-long retreat, and there was a period of time during that retreat where in my head I was writing a book. Not the book I actually wrote, not a book I'm thinking, but like, and they were happy thoughts. I had all these great ideas. That wasn't meditation.
So no, you're that not was active thinking because
so
you were
it's
following
not about
the thought.
Happy thoughts. You know, really, what my what your task is, if you're going to sit with the intention to meditate, your only task is when you catch your mind going off on a tangent, you gently notice and with no blame. This is what minds do, but your job right then is to be present to yourself. So you come back.
Yeah.
You come back with great, great compassion and awareness, and you don't beat yourself up, and you don't push the thoughts away for being bad, but you also don't, like, grab onto the happy, fun ones and go off on tangents. It's like, no, right now I'm here to be fully present to myself.
Yeah, that was a big one for me because I've always had an active mind and I'm a creative.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember being young, and I'm curious if you find this transfers over. I realized that the more, in my younger years, 20s, I'd say 20s and early 30s, that the more I followed the thoughts, the more anxious I became.
Yes.
Right? Because I struggled with anxiety back then. And I can correlate now. Because everyone says, you know, what a transformation in me, personally, professionally, spiritually, emotionally, over the last 30 years. And when I think about that, Sharon, I'm like, where did it start? Yes, there was an inner transformation, but I can also say, when did the anxiety start to end? It's when I was conscious that my thoughts are not who I am.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to say, I don't have to follow this thought train.
That's
right. Do you see a difference in people's levels of anxiety, just generalized anxiety, life anxiety, right? And
absolutely.
When I talk about disorders, it does help.
It makes a huge difference. And I even had one person who was somebody that I knew. She, you know, when my book came out, she was part of a writing group that I was in, and I was doing a reading, and she came up to me afterwards. She says, you know, I tried to meditate and I failed. I just was a failure at it. I said, no. She said, maybe you can help me. And we created a class with some of her friends. And just like letting her off the hook because she had tried learning from somebody who was very, like you said earlier, there is no one way to meditate. Meditation
No.
looks so many different things. Now, mindfulness is a particular thing. And you know, there are so many different strains even within that. But because I gave her permission to not feel like she was doing it wrong if she wasn't doing a certain thing, she took to it like you wouldn't believe. And she had been sleeping with a breathing machine. She had some kind of oxygen saturation issue physically, physiologically. And she hated the thought of having to live with that machine. And as she took to meditation and really made it part of her life, it shifted her oxygen saturation levels, and she didn't have to use the machine anymore. I mean, that's astonishing.
I love that, but I've come to find it true because it affects everything, and it does affect our physiology because if we can, I can feel my heart rate slow right down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means it's having a physical effect. So I could see it easily doing that. Never
yeah.
mind the levels of anxiety. I've taught my grandson some things. He's a sensitive. He's 19. So ever since he was young, you know, I just taught him certain things because he has social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be getting better as he gets older. But I remember having those conversations, buddy, just because you have a thought, you don't have to follow it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you don't have that. I often say you don't have to believe every thought in your head. Or I love this, the Buddhists have this great term, they say, don't put another head on top of your head. Like, you know,
like the thoughts, right? Meaning the thoughts.
Don't start having all these crazy thoughts about your thoughts or what they mean. I mean, there's cognitive thinking that makes things happen. You know, you create, you know, books, and you created this radio program, and you created your magazine. Like, we need to have that kind of thinking. But that discursive thinking that just goes around and around in circles, you know, you can step off the merry-go-round.
Especially about the worry stuff. You know, the stuff that you're worrying about, stuff that may never happen, and you're giving your life force energy. That's where it ended for me. That's
mm-hmm.
the kind of thinking I used to have in my 20s. You go off on this whole tangent and create a whole story based on one thought of something that may never even happen, and you're giving your life force energy. And that's when I said, No, there has to be another way.
Yeah.
And now, of course, with awareness, a thought will arise, which it's going to anyway.
Yeah.
But the choice is mine whether to follow it. But we can't make that choice if we're not aware that the choice is ours.
Exactly.
And that's what your books and your teachings are about, right? Showing that the choice is with us. Our thoughts are not in control. So you teach ways for them to be aware.
Yes. Yes. And also to be, I love that you brought forward a couple of times now the embodied piece. Because I spent a lot of my career, and I'm in my 32nd year of being a holistic practitioner. A lot of that career, I was primarily a massage therapist. So I'm very aware of how people hold things in their bodies or are totally cut off from their bodies. So for me, mindfulness it's a kind of a physical practice. You know, it's like pulling in the reins or pulling in a puppy that's, you know, running off, and you kind of just gently, like, come back to yourself. To me, it's an energetic kind of physiological process.
So beautifully said. And it's funny because I was a massage therapist too, so I get what you're saying. Yeah, massage, Reiki, and all of that. I had a spa party company. But I believe I became a massage therapist because I needed help in embodying my body. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was disconnected from my body. So I used to say, it's funny, the language you use when you look back. I used to say in my 20s and 30s, I feel like I'm just my head, that there's nothing down below. Because do you know what that felt like? It was like I was always in my head and I had become disconnected from my body because of childhood trauma. But I actually felt like there was no appendage there.
Yeah.
So as I healed, I realized I am so much more than what's up here, right? And then I integrated everything. But becoming a massage therapist actually was part of my own healing journey.
Yes.
Of embodying. Now I'm more aware. I'm more aware of sensations in my body. Just when I'm not in my body, you can tell, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we all can now. But it all begins with awareness. Then it begins with choice.
Very much. I created I love creating these visuals with words, you know, little memes to post on social media. And I had one that I posted a while back that I said, you know, it's like they used to say, they think it is the rule, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law. Awareness is 9/10 of the journey. It's so much about, like, you have to start there. And any moment that you bring yourself back into awareness, that's a moment of healing and presence.
Oh, it's so true. When we come back from our next break, I want to talk about that and more. And I also want to, when we come back, talk about how someone can bring mindfulness into their life if they don't want to meditate.
Right.
And I'll be back in a moment with Sharon Rosen of heartofselfcare.com. Be sure you swing by her website to learn more about her work. I'll be back in a moment.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
We can all use a little more peace and joy in our lives. Don't you agree? Counselor, best-selling author, and self-nurturing expert Kelly Grimes of CultivatingPeaceAndJoy.com is passionate about empowering overwhelmed and exhausted women to live with more peace, joy, and meaning through the practice of self-nurturing. Through her experience working with individuals, speaking, providing workshops, and teaching professional and leadership development to forward-thinking organizations, Kelly knows that nurturing peace in the world begins from the inside out. That's why she created the free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app that brings you beautiful self-nurturing reminders, guided meditations, empowering practice tools, and daily prompts with an inspiring question to guide your daily self-nurturing practice. Download your free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app today at cultivatingpeaceandjoy.com.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is author and healer Sharon Rosen. Sharon, I am loving this conversation. It just really not just validates some of the thoughts and feelings of my own experience over the last 30 years, but also speaks to a conversation that I've had with so many women, private clients, as well as women in my community. So thank you for being here to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm loving it too. And I love that we have that shared background of massage therapy. That's so cool.
Yeah. So if someone wants to bring mindfulness into their life, but they don't want to meditate because, you know, they're like, no, that's not for me, where can they start?
You start by stopping, literally. Like, take a moment when you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling like you're just running around like a chicken with its head cut off, when you're just wherever you are in your day, where you're feeling like you just can't take it anymore, and stop. Stop whatever you're doing. Place your awareness in your body and tune in through your senses. That is such a great way to get present. So one thing to do is whatever it is that's right in front of you, look up. And if you can, look out. You know, like you said, sometimes you just walk to your door and open the door and just breathe for, half a minute or a minute and connect and feel the air. You know, if you can do that, do that. If you can't do that, but there's a window that you can look out the window. Hopefully you can see, if not trees or grass or something growing, the sky. And let yourself become present to what's out there, what's on the horizon. Get your mind off of what's right in front of you.
And I love that, looking up and out, because it's changing your focus, right? It's kind of like shifting your mind off what is. It is that was right in front of you. Is that why you say up and out?
Yeah, up and out. And also, well, I'm also aware of the fact that not everybody, like you, I also live in the woods. And I look out my window and I just see trees and there's a lake off in the distance. I know you've got a lake right there, which is so wonderful. But, you know, not everybody has that. So the sky, the horizon, also to remember that, you know, your life isn't just about you and whatever the minutia of your momentary or maybe ongoing. You know, some people are really dealing with rough stuff. You know, whatever's right in front of you isn't all that there is, and that you are connected to something larger. And sometimes it takes looking up at the sky or out at some trees or off at the horizon to bring that back into your awareness.
That's beautiful. And there's something, too, for those who work in cubbies. I worked in a cubby many years ago in a building that had no windows.
Oof.
And that was, yeah, it was really hard for me. I was probably, God, Nikki was 3, so she's going to be 35. It was that long ago. And looking back, I can see that I just wasn't meant to be in that kind of box. It's just not my energy. But
yeah,
to get through the day, because I love nature and sunshine and be able to see, I had to create something that when I was feeling that anxious or overwhelmed or just needing a break, I create a little corner of my cubby. That was my, like, zen spot. That's what I'd call it now. I don't know if I called it that back then.
Right.
I had a picture of my daughter. Well, now I would call it an altar, actually. But there was a picture of the beach that, it was just a picture from a Don Travel magazine that just always spoke to my soul, and I cut it out and framed it.
Mm.
Now, for me, staring at that because I couldn't connect with what really fed my soul,
right,
that would be my little pause throughout the day. So even something simple like that, was
like
almost
that,
like a my reset button.
Yes. And the other thing is just, another is to become really aware, tune into your body. Take a moment to feel, like, where are your feet? Are your feet on the floor? What are you sitting on? Notice that you're being supported. Feel the contact of your bottom, of your thighs, of your back. Like, really tuning into the body and the senses and then the breath. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of time, but just take a moment. Realize you're breathing. You know, Thich Nhat Hanh has the beautiful, you know, simple kind of mantra. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out.
That's
just
beautiful.
Taking a moment for that. I think the more that you can just first stop, you know, press the pause button, and then tune into your senses in any way that's available to you in that moment. Notice what fragrance is in the air. You know, you might, if you've been very visual, which so many of us are, you know, with the screens and everything all the time, you know, it might just be like closing your eyes and putting one hand on your chest and your abdomen and feeling the rise and fall of your abdomen and your chest as you're breathing. Just take a moment for that.
So beautiful. And you mentioned that mantra. I had one, you know, we all go through things in life, maybe something in the family or business or work, and that we have those nights or moments that we struggle to close our mind. My mantra is, I breathe, every time on the in-breath, I go, I breathe in love, I breathe out fear. So on every one. And it's almost like my soothing mantra that we all have to hold on to. So whatever it is for you, everyone has the power to create that.
Yes.
So a mantra is great. One of the other things, too, I always hear, and I'll be honest, it was my number one go-to excuse for years, was, I don't have the time. I don't have the time to sit and meditate.
Yeah.
And isn't there a saying by someone that says, when you think you don't have time is exactly when you need to?
Well, they say, yeah, if you think you don't, if you have time to meditate, take 10 minutes. If you don't have time to meditate, take an hour.
That one, and I used to look at that and go, oh, yeah? But I use time as an excuse for 30 years. And as we've been discussing in today's show, it's moments. There is no excuse. And once that awareness came to me, I'm like, ah, shoot, there goes my number one excuse.
Well, and the truth is nobody's ever going to hand you extra time. As a matter of fact, right now, the homepage, the kind of headline on my website is, you know, we all get the same 24 hours. It's how you use them that matters.
Yeah, I love that saying because I believe it. It's, we get to choose moment to moment how we live our lives.
I mean, for goodness sake, you have to sit on the toilet many times a day. Let that be your time to become present. You know, you can always find something, doing the dishes.
Washing dishes.
Exactly.
Weeping. Maybe not driving, but.
Well,
driving zen for me. I don't use the radio. I don't use anything because I'm on a lot of calls all week. My honey always says, you never put the radio on. I'm like, no. It's my like little traveling zen den.
Yeah, and even, you know, that's another teaching from Thich Nhat Hanh is, you know, you can choose anything. You can choose sitting at a red light or a stop sign as you're, like, pick a thing that happens in your day anyway. The phone's ringing. A prompt is going off on your messages. You can choose any one thing or several things and let that be, like, your bell of mindfulness. Like, oh, when I am in that situation, I'm going to take a moment and take one full conscious in-breath and out-breath. It can be so simple. We overcomplicate things.
We do. And one of the other things, too, is like when I shared that when I'm driving, that's my Zen time. You know, it's just I'm with me.
Yeah.
No outside stuff coming in. Of course, I'm watching the road. But one of the fun things I do, which I think keeps me in awareness, is I'm always looking for signs. Like I love numbers. I love numerology, 444, 222, clouds that are shaped like something. But if I wasn't aware in the moment, I would miss all that.
Yes.
So it's like a fun game. I look for like positive signs of love or whatever, a heart-shaped, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is my mindfulness game,
mm-hmm.
right? I teach my granddaughter that. Like, let's go for a walk. How many heart shapes can we find in nature? And that little, she finds them all the time. That and four-leaf clovers. I got to tell you, that girl's found 8 four-leaf clovers, and she's 7 years old. We got them all laminated. I'm like,
never found one.
No, she finds them all the time. So, but see, because think of it, a child is aware.
Yes.
Right? So I watch her and go, look at how present in the moment she is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I've come to realize. We were born with this awareness. We just have become, I don't even like the word disconnected, because we can never be disconnected from our truth, right? But
right.
I just, it kind of gets smothered.
Yes.
With all the life stuff.
Yes, lots of veils. Lots of veils over our consciousness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to take another break, Shannon. When we come back, it will be our final break. When we come back, I want to ask you, if anyone can learn to meditate, even if they can't quiet their mind, we've been talking a lot about that, but maybe share some tips and strategies. I know you have already, but anything that comes to mind when we come back from our break. With me today is Sharon Rosen, author and healer, and you are in for some more juicy conversation. I'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Deborah Keevan is a writer, editor, and storyteller who serves visionary entrepreneurs by helping them create and share their compelling client attraction stories. In some cases, these stories appear as copy on their websites, other times in their blogs or books. As an associate editor at Inspired Living Publishing and with her personal clients, Debbie creates a safe space for entrepreneurs to fully explore and own their stories. By integrating their dark and light, they shine brighter to make a bigger impact globally and in their communities. Deborah is particularly drawn to stories of struggle and uses language to aid in healing journeys, including her own. If you have a story burning to be told, you're invited to visit her website and schedule a virtual coffee date at deborahkeevan.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Inspired Conversations radio show. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, and with me today is Sharon Rosen, author and healer, and we are talking about mindfulness, meditation, taking moments throughout the day to just stop and be. So we've been talking a lot about meditation and the different ways that mindfulness can play into our day. If someone is listening right now and they're like, okay, I get it, but where can I start? Tomorrow, if I want to start this, what would be the first piece of advice you gave to someone?
Well, first of all, I would be so happy if this conversation inspired somebody to do that. I think what I would suggest is pick a time, pick a place, and make sure that you get yourself, this may sound kind of funny, but make sure that you get yourself into a nice, comfortable, upright position. Because part of, it's interesting that the very first thing that we do, if you really want to create a practice, is you take your seat. And taking your seat is not a casual thing. It's a very purposeful thing. And it's like you're telling yourself, I'm doing something specific now. I am showing up for myself, which is something I think we don't do a whole lot in our, you know, days. We're running around, we're doing for other people, we're putting other people first, we're responding to things. So just that process of taking your seat, and if you can, you know, if you can sit on the floor, sometimes I'm even sitting on a couch, putting a cushion underneath you so that your hips are just a little bit higher than your knees, even if you're sitting in a straight back chair, like in a, you know, with everything at 90 degree angles, really allow yourself to take a very strong, specific seat so that it's like a mountain pose, like a seated mountain pose. And start to tune into your breath and just notice that you're breathing. Be aware of how breath is moving in your body. It's really helpful to tune into a place where you can, where it's a little more palpable. You know, some people, well, a lot of us are really shallow breathers. So just that, it's not a breathing exercise, but just noticing, well, where is breath happening in my body? And sit with that.
That's a big one, too, because I was a shallow breather, which I think relates to anxiety, right, when you're young?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I didn't realize I never breathed from my diaphragm. It was always short, shallow. And so I'm glad you brought that up because your breath gives you so much information.
Yeah.
And I still catch myself, right? If you've been on the computer all day and you're hunched over, I don't know. I think we have to be aware of our breath. That's a great one to start with.
Yeah. And also, you said something early on, I think, about how, you know, we so often tend to kind of blame or shame ourselves. It's like there's no judgment here. There's no judgment. You're simply coming into presence with yourself and noticing and being curious and just kind of going, oh, interesting. Wow. Well, gee, my chest. You can even put one hand on your chest and one hand on your abdomen and you just kind of notice like, oh, gee, my chest doesn't move very much when I breathe. Isn't that interesting? No blame.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said about the non-judgment because I don't know if it's a woman thing, but we can have a tendency to beat ourselves up. And as I shared earlier in the call, I did that for many years. Like, I'm never going to meditate. But if you went to my darn bookshelf, Sharon, do you have any books on meditation I bought? Right? And when we were moving, my honey was like, baby, you don't meditate. There was a woman on the cover in the full pose and all this. I don't meditate in that way that all the books show, sitting on cushions in a corner. And he says, but you've been buying these books for 10 years. And I'm like, I'm going to learn how to meditate. And the funny part was I had been all along.
Mm-hmm.
Once I released the judgment and got rid of those darn books, everything came to be. And it's everything that we've been talking about today and that you've been sharing, Sharon, just – I like something you said earlier. Start by stopping.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're talking go, go, go. The world is coming at us quick. We become disconnected. And it does all begin with just stop.
Your body. The best place to start is just stop. Allow yourself to be. And it might not be comfortable. And that's okay. You know, we do a lot of the running around, I think, to avoid the discomfort of just being present. And, you know, meditation isn't all bliss. It's not. You don't just, you know, get to some radiant place. And again, there's different types of meditation, but if you're interested in mindfulness, it's not necessarily comfortable, but you learn to become comfortable with your own discomfort. And there's something incredibly healing and instructive about that.
So true. So true. I'm so glad we're having this conversation today. I think it's also probably another sacred reminder for me as life gets busy to continue my practice throughout the day because, you know, I don't like the word slack, but if we're not conscious, it's easy to slip into old habits. Mine's pretty ingrained in, but I'm human, right? And I stopped the judgment many years ago, but I'm glad this is coming back into my awareness again to continue doing everything that I've been doing.
Yeah.
What's your number one? Was time, the topic of time, the number one excuse you heard with people, or was it not liking the sensations in their body when they try to sit? Because that was another one for me, too. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't get comfortable. And then, of course, my whole mind is about how uncomfortable I am, and then I judge myself for going, you're not supposed to be even thinking that. And then I would just throw the cushion in the corner and walk away.
Yeah, some of it is time. I think a lot of it, the time and this feeling like I can't do this. I can't, I can't clear my mind. My mind is too busy. That's a lot of what I hear, is my mind is too busy, I can't meditate. And that's exactly why you need to meditate. Able to just let them float through and disidentify with the thoughts as being so meaningful. Like if you know, most people, think about it, you can go through so many emotions in the course of one day, right?
Yes.
And they arise, they fall, something feels very intense, then something else takes your attention, or then you just, hear one little thing that kind of reminds you that, oh, okay, I'm okay with that friend. We're okay. But, meanwhile, you were tied up in knots a few minutes before. Oh, my God, why haven't they responded to my texts? It's not like them. And, you have all these thoughts. And then you get one little text. It's like, oh, my God, my day is so crazy. And you go, oh, they're having a crazy day. It's not about me.
No. It's a story, right? It's
the story.
Yeah. Which leads to anxiety.
Engage the story and from making the story bigger and more interesting,
It's almost like we're writing a movie script, right? And none of it's even true.
Exactly.
And so I look at it what story do I want to write? I want to write, I want to write a story about being in the present moment, not about something that could never happen.
Yeah.
For me, it's about life energy. Like, I'm a joyful person, and isn't it funny? My last name's Joy, but it's taken me many years to get here. So for me, it's about, do I want to give up my joy in exchange for this thought? And the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it, again, comes back to awareness and choice, which you've been talking about throughout the show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and also letting yourself feel what you feel. That was a big one for me, was because I thought it was wrong to feel something, and then I was blocking it, and that actually made it bigger and scarier. But when I let myself feel what I feel and know that it's okay to feel that, and it doesn't have to mean something, then it has a chance to kind of have an organic movement through.
And not get stuck.
It doesn't get stuck.
Yeah. I know that feeling. Remember when the Law of Attraction first came out, I'm going way back, The Secret and all of that. I remember going, I can't have a negative thought. No, I'm going to manifest it. And so, of course, and I think a lot of people did, they were afraid. And now I go, it's just a thought.
That's
it's not
right.
Who I am. So I don't smother or stop it. But back then I did because I thought, oh, my God, I can't have a negative thought or think something not high vibration. Now I'm like, that's part of the essence of who I am. I'm meant to have this thought, but I don't have to own the story behind the thought.
That's right. That's right. And it's interesting because one of the Abraham Hicks books.
I love their books. Yeah.
I had very mixed feelings. I don't want to offend anybody, but I had really mixed feelings about The Secret because of exactly what you just said.
Yeah, I did too.
It really, I think, messed with a lot of people's heads. But in, I think it's called Ask and It Is Given, is one of the Abraham Hicks books that I have. And they talk about, like, you have to start from wherever you are. And maybe you're in a low vibration place, but that doesn't mean that you have to go from, say,
you know, if you're really low, like a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10, like you don't just try and go to 10, try and go to 3, you know, just
so true. Just start where you are. And that is a great book to start with.
Yeah.
As we come to a close for our conversation, is there one quick tip that you would like to our listeners to take from this conversation? If there's one seed that you planted in this chat today, what is it you want them to take away? And we have a few seconds left.
It's funny. This is what ended up as the title, I believe, of the book I'm working on, because I was telling some friends about it, and they said, well, what do you want people to get from this book? And I said, I want them to relax and trust themselves. So that's what I would love for people to take, is relax, trust yourself. You know, if you think you can't meditate, just take a moment and tune into your breath. And if you're being really hard on yourself, let yourself off the hook. You're human, you know, and this, I when I do my meditation
class,
I always tell poems, and I use Rumi's guest house, you know. This being human is a guest house. Let
so
the guest
beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that takeaway. I'm so glad that you were able to join me today. Thank you for being here, sharing your love and wisdom. And I want to invite everyone, join me every Tuesday on the Om Times Network for the Inspired Conversations radio show. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.